And welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we just love to talk about on Yo Proms. I'm Ronnie. Hi. Guess who's with me? He's thin, he's hot, he's sweet, he's talented, he's fun and funny. His name is Ben Mandelker. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, hon?
I'm doing great. So excited to talk some Beverly Hills today.
Me too. What a fun episode of Beverly Hills.
You look adorable today. You look adorable, Ronnie.
I do. Why?
I don't know what it is. I think it's because you're wearing this like America t-shirt. I don't know. It just looks so cute. Oh, it's Texas. I don't know. You just look so cute today.
It was like a $2 shirt. So I was like, I'll take that. I have some Texas pride. Everybody, thank you so much for being here with us on Real Housewives of Beverly Hills Day. You can catch this on demand if you prefer watching your recaps. We do a couple a week. This week we're doing Beverly Hills and New York, both on video. So hi, people watching us, picking our noses and eating our boogers. Thanks for being here. If you want to join up, that's also where you get our bonus episodes. So go over to patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens, okay? And sign up. And it's going to look all weird, like different levels for different things. Just choose your level. And when you're signing up, choose the cap amount that you are willing to spend a month. You can give us $1 million. We'll take it, okay?
We will.
But you can also give us $1, okay? We don't care. Just if you want to, for extras, go over there. Go to our Instagram. Go to our Twitter. Do whatever you want, okay? That's all I got for you today.
Yeah, and shout out to our people in the Discord community. It's like the truly just, it's such a chill vibe over there. It's great. So hi to everyone there who is chatting about Bravo. Go join them. If you're a Patreon member, you might actually have access to the Discord server already. You may not realize it. So go check that out, okay? And all the details of that are on Patreon.
Okay, so let's get into some Beverly Hills this week. Still COVID time, so we are taking, sad vacations. This time is to Kyle's place in Palm Springs.
Yeah, but this was actually really funny. Like, I was laughing a lot during this episode, mainly just watching Kyle knock over spice jars. Like, that was, like, somehow deeply satisfying to me, just watching Kyle knock over spice jars. I was like, this is, like, the truth. I feel like this is the truth I always knew about Kyle, that in the kitchen, she just knocks over so many spice jars. And now I was like, I always suspected it, and now I see it. And I never knew I suspected it until I saw it, and then I was like, yes, this is what I've always thought about Kyle Richards. She knocks over spice jars.
I am triggered by knocking things over because I always knock everything over. Today I was trying to take something out of the fridge and I knocked over a can of beans that I had opened and just put back in the fridge, took some beans out and then put them back in the fridge, which of course, and then when I put them back in the fridge, I said, the second you put those back in the fridge without a covering or something, you're going to knock that shit all over the floor. And I was like, who cares? I'm not an idiot. And what's the first thing I do next time I open the fridge? I knock the beans all over the floor. Okay.
Listen, did I tell you how last week, I probably should have mentioned this on our Below Deck recap, but how last week I took a ladle of boiling hot pasta water and ladled it onto my hand by accident. We all make mistakes.
Kyle's just one of us, guys.
Kyle's just one of us.
Yeah, Kyle's
I was just like, that's the thing, is watching her knock over those spice jars. I was like, I knew she would do that. But then it was also then this like second wave of realization. Oh, God, I think I'm Kyle Richards. It's a terrible realization.
Don't go that far. Can I?
I can't grow bangs.
I'll ask you. I'm just not very concentrated today. So I'm like, hey, I want to ask you about a commercial I saw, Ben. I'll ask you later. So here we are. It's vacation day. We're getting to the packing thing. And Rinna has used all of Harry Hamlin's screen time. Because Harry Hamlin will only come on this show 5 minutes a year. And he did a lot last time. Like, he made some bubble dice. So he is done. So now she's done. Just back to shooting with her dog. It's like,
yeah.
Wow, you've got a cone. Hey, Rocky Road, in a cone. Wanna help me pack? What do you think of this outfit? What do you think of this, Rocky? He's a dog, but he's helping me pack.
Poor dog has a cone and bandages around his little paws. I don't know what happened to this dog. Brenda's like, oh, how are you? Not well. Okay, I'm gonna leave you. Bye. Bye, dog.
Then we're over with Dorit and Jackers helping her pack, because, you know, the sons on this show are very good with helping packing. We're learning that from Bravo. So yeah. Jagger's like, "Mommy, you are only going for 2 days. Why are you packing all this stuff?" And she's like, "I've only dressed in home clothes for 2 weeks, Jagger. I'm really ready to dress in something sparkly, something fun, something painted with LV and dropped off the back of a pickup truck on the way to Chinatown. Oh, speaking of, this little girl has brought me something. Little girl, how'd you keep getting into me home?" Poor Phoenix.
Yeah, Phoenix brings some looks to choose. And also her assistant Ashley is there. Ashley looks like she's auditioning to be an anchorwoman on the local news, because her face is beat. It's real beat. So then we go to Sutton, who's on the phone with Kyle. And Kyle's like, "Oh, it's so nice here in La Quinta. I can't wait for you guys all to get here." And Sutton says, "Well, I'm stressed out because I haven't packed at all. Like, I'm staring at an empty suitcase right now."
"Well, we should be casual, but, you know, the girls, they'll probably be wearing ball gowns." And she says Erica and Garcelle and Crystal are all staying at a hotel because Erica needs privacy. She's struggling, okay? Kyle knows privacy because she has talked to her. And this is why you don't talk to Kyle about things, because the second you leave Kyle, then Kyle calls some hooker and is like, "Guess what? I saw Erica sobbing. She was sobbing. It was not like her."
That's exactly why Kyle showed up last week for their hike that didn't go really anywhere. They hiked to like a stump.
It's my kind
of
hike. Yeah, you just sit down on a bench.
That's why Kyle was there, because Kyle loves being the gatekeeper to whoever's going through the emotional shit, right? She loves being the one who can then tell everyone else, "She's going through a lot. Oh, you should have seen her sobbing," right? Because that elevates her position, right? Because she has access, this like primary access to this emotional madness that's happening, and then she can go tell everyone what's going on. This is why Kyle doesn't work at the top of the pyramid, right? She can't handle being at the top. She needs to be like at least like second from the top, so that way she can tell everyone below her what's happening at the top. That's her role in life.
Yeah, so she's struggling, and Sutton's like, "Oh, I know. I texted her." It's like, well, then how do you know she's struggling? You just sent a text. It's not the same thing. Don't try and compete in the conversation Olympics, Sutton. Okay? Sending a text is not the same as almost hiking with somebody.
She sent me an emoji that was like, "Meow," so I know she's going through it.
So Kyle's like, "Yeah, sobbing, I tell you, yeah, sobbing." Goes,
"If you saw what I saw the other day," that's so dramatic. "If you had only seen what I had seen, she was sobbing. Bereft. She stepped on a lizard and said, 'There, now you don't have to experience this painful world the way I see it, lizard.' She was out of control. Painful."
So Kyle's like, "Listen, do you want to just come stare at my four walls all day?" And she's like, "I'm leaving your four walls to stare at your other four walls, Kyle." She's like, "That's right. They're both my house." So then we go over to Erica's clubhouse. Was it always called Erica's clubhouse?
Maybe. She was trying to do some sort of like final episode of Cheers or like Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. It's like, "We're moving out. It's goodbye. Like, sorry, we're closed." And so this was sort of supposed to be vaguely sentimental, but I really wasn't feeling it. So basically,
well, they're acting like they've been shooting there for a decade every other scene.
Yeah,
right?
This is not the Friends reunion.
They're like, remember all the good times we had here? And it's like, last week, Sutton came over.
And looked at dresses. Yeah. Remember? Oh, yes, I saw this was where the reveal happened for my avatar. Oh, those precious memories. So they're walking around, and so they've found someone to take over the lease. And so,
"Oh, look, the glam room. It's back to being a bedroom. Now I can see it as a bedroom again instead of a glam." I'm like, wow, what a stretch. And then we have, like, here's a flashback of, like, remember the good times, the glam room? And it's, like, they haul Kyle into the glam room. And then they turn on this, like, very bright, aggressive lighting on Kyle, which you know is a nightmare for her. So it was sort of funny.
Well, they're turning all the makeup lights on and, like, the TV lights and stuff. And she's like, "Wow, you must be pretty, because this is a lot of light." We all know bright light makes you look better. Look at me, darling. I look like Gollum when this thing's not on, this ring light thing. When it's not on, I'm like, a lot of bright white light is good for everybody. So Erica's like, since I've left, I haven't received one dime from Tom Girard, despite what everyone thinks. Well, no one thinks he's giving you money. They think you already took $20 million of it, actually, okay? Just to be clear. And she's like, well, it can be challenging, yeah. At times, it's horrible.
Yeah, and then we see a flashback of her living the, basically a modern-day Fievel the Mouse, as she's like,
all right, glam team, now that we're here in my tiny little shack in Hancock Park, we'll just have to use this giant kitchen island as the home base for our glam. I know it's not much, but it'll have to do. Yeah. Please help yourself to a beverage from my Sub-Zero refrigerator.
Erica's, she tells us, I can take care of myself. People forget that. They want to forget it. I'm like, we don't forget it. We saw you at Shakey's last season. Wasn't that the last vacation they went there? So you go, yeah. Erica.
But also, like, it's also funny because later on in the episode, she does this whole thing like, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? But now she's like, I can take care of myself. I'm like, okay, so it's...
Yeah, she
can't play stupid and smart. Can't play stupid and smart.
Yeah, she is trying to still figure out her story. You know, we've had a lot of time to go through the documents and all the stuff by now. All the stuff that's out by now. But this is when it's all unraveling, and she still isn't really sure what the story is going to be.
Yeah.
So she keeps changing it like 5 times an episode. She hasn't really stuck with anything yet. So we'll see how that turns out.
She
but for now...
Her whole story, I'm sorry, I just cut you off, but like her whole story should just, she should have been like the Blue Cantrell thing, which is like, my husband's cheating on me, he was mean to me, and now he's getting me into this fucking mess. So I said, guess what? I'm taking $3 million and I'm starting a new life in Hancock Park, and this is women empowerment. And I would have been like, good for you, good for you. And then, because, you know, like that would have been like a very like up with, you know, up with me, out from under the thumb of Tom. But you're right. I think the narrative, she is kind of figuring out, like, is this an is this a independence narrative? Is this a, oh, I'm stuck in the web of Tom's litigation narrative? I think she's kind of figuring all that out.
Yeah, she's writing as she goes. Okay, so she looks around the place and she tells us, we squeezed all the blood out of that man. I mean, this apartment. And then we see memories. This is the memory thing where they're like, wow, remember when Dorit wore a long ponytail here? Last season.
Yeah. Ah, remember? I was standing right there when we got a Sparklift delivery once. Wow, that was great.
Everything comes to an end. And it looks like she's even leaving her pink pretty mess sign behind. Her pretty mess light, which you know that Kyle's going to get her ass straight to that estate sale.
She really will. Erica, I saved it for you. Yeah, no, it was so funny. It was like they were really treating it like it was the end of some era that all of America, you know, went through together. Like it truly was the end of family ties. It's just like, no, it was just the end of a loft that we saw every now and then that seemed sort of strange in the first place.
Yeah. So then we go to Kyle's looking to house, and she gets a call, and we get the Kyle, hello! And it's Garcelle, and Garcelle's like, well, don't you look good? You're feeling better, huh, Kyle? She's like, I'm just happy to be alive. So you're not coming till tomorrow, huh? And she's like, I have to shoot the real Kyle.
I have a job, Kyle. Okay, I know you want to do it. Give me the tour. Give me the FaceTime tour, and I'll pretend like I've never seen a nice house before. Okay. So she's like, okay, here it is. Look at all this. And there's like a giant piano. Does anyone in that family play piano? Do we know?
Maybe people Mauricio with the does. Nicest pianos do not play the piano.
Yeah.
I've learned that from these shows.
They just have a giant-ass piano right in the middle. I guess it's like... Just in case Yolanda Foster comes back and is like, ladies and gentlemen, Andrea Bocelli. Oh, I got a piano for him. I got a piano.
You just have to be rich enough to have the desire to play a piano, right?
Yeah.
So Kyle gives her a little tour, and then she tells us her yearly, I've been coming to the desert ever since I was a baby. You know, the second we'd hit those windmills, the whole sky just, the energy just shifts here. I'm like, yeah, the windmills probably feel the same way. Kyle comes through and they're like, did the energy just change in Palm Springs?
My my turbines aren't working anymore.
Birds just start flying into the turbines.
She's a real voice of the American West. So, yeah, and then she's, like, saying how she comes, we come here every on weekends, on holidays, on Easter, which basically means that we can cue up that scene from season one when they're out there, that they're in Palm Springs, and little Sophia is, like, pulling a piece off a big chocolate Easter bunny, and then Kim goes in and breaks off another piece, and Kyle goes, Kim, you would grab that piece. Which is funny because you just know that that was so, like, such a loaded comment. Like, they've probably had so many fights about Kim taking that piece of chocolate off the bunny every single year.
Yeah, like, Kim always gets the, like, the face. Because you know Kim's going to just go for the craziest part. Like, I'm eating that bunny's face off, Kyle.
No, but it just got bangs.
Yeah, why'd you have to ruin the fucking face of the bunny, Kim? So then Rinna comes in. And this is the Rinna-iest entrance that Rinna has ever rented. Okay, she's like, Kyle, your house. Oh my god, Kyle! She's like waving her arms, screaming, kicking her legs in the air, she's screaming some more, doing jumping jacks, rolling on the ground, you know, doing a handstand. It's like, what the hell?
She literally was one of those things in front of the car dealership, just wheeled in, just going like, Kyle, I'm looking down.
Yeah, the Kristen Doty of entrances. Yeah.
So, by the way, my friend Eva today, who for some reason I'm like mentioning her every week on this podcast now, but she was at Starbucks this morning and she said Lisa Rinna went in right before her. And she said that Rinna was wearing a mask and that she only recognized her because of her hair. So that's the benefits of having iconic hair, is that you'll get recognized no matter what, even if you have a mask on.
But then do we even have proof that that was Rinna?
Well, I'm sure Eva heard something like,
we have a coffee ready for Harry Hamlin. Harry Hamlin!
We have a coffee ready for my daughter's dating Scott Disick. My daughter's dating Scott Disick, yes. Anyone?
Yes, totally. Where's my notes? I switched screens for a second, and then all hell broke loose over here.
Well,
guys,
while you find them, so Rinna comes in. And Kyle's like, okay, Rinna, so I put you right by, like, go right behind you. Your room's right behind you. I put you in the casita. And Rinna goes, I love that you told me where to go. I love that.
Ooh, casita. Casita.
She told me where to go. I said, do I go? In my mind, I was thinking, do I go left or right? And she told me. She told me.
Coil, which means Dorit's here. So they hug, and Kyle looks around, or Dorit looks around the house, and she goes, oh, honey, which could mean like, this place looks like shit, or wow, look at you with the house, or who really owns this? You know, I don't know what it means, but Kyle's like, oh, we're gonna do some remodeling. I mean, we've been saying that for years, but we really are gonna do it this time.
That was exactly the Dorit tone, was like, this is lovely in theory, but it's also like shades of brown on brown on brown on brown.
I know. The last time this house made any sense, Boy George actually had a career, Kyle. Do something with these floors.
It was very Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. They love a brown decor in there. So then Kathy shows up. This is a great episode for Kathy. Just like a huge amount of Kathy content. I feel like that's the big headline here. And then Dorit's like, you know, the other girls are staying at La Quinta. It's a great hotel. It's almost as wonderful as all the hotels I stayed at while I was traveling the world, becoming a citizen of the globe.
So Kyle has the girl staying at the hotel, and she didn't want to mix Sutton and Crystal together because you just never know what's going to happen. And then we see your ugly leather pants. And Kathy comes in full-on Paris Hilton heart sunglasses, and she's like, oh my god, Kyle, I've never driven 2 hours alone. I've gone somewhere alone for 2 hours. My knees hurt, Kyle. They hurt, Kyle.
It would be funny if we actually saw the car she was driving. It was just like that Vanderwolf or Vanderhall thing that Kyle took shopping. Just Kathy held in like some tiny little vehicle with her knees up to her chin. Be like, my knees hurt. Yeah.
She just doesn't know how to like slide back the seat.
She's sitting cross-legged and just like has like little things to press the gas pedals. She has buttons.
Yeah,
for the gas
she's just like, this is how people drive. So they talk about how wacky it is that she doesn't know how to drive. And she's like, is there a man here that can help with luggage? Because this is heavy, Kyle. And she's like, sorry, it's not the Waldorf Astoria, Kathy.
Oh, it's the Waldorf Astoria? No, not the Waldorf Astoria. So then Crystal and Sutton show up. And then and Kyle has like set up a fan for Kathy. But I think we all saw, I'm sure you saw, that even though it was a fan, it was not the right brand of fan, right? We knew it was not going to work.
No, this was a Home Goods fan. You know, those like stylish little fans in the lamp section that don't do shit. Okay. Yeah. It was one of those. And then you have to like go get a new one because there's no way to clean them. Yes, I've bought that fan many times and it makes no noise. Okay. Unless you've got like a loose screw and then it goes clang, 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 clang because it's a metal fan. It's the wrong kind of fan. Nice try. You did not get that for her. And then when Sutton drives up, they're like, oh my God, we love your Bentley, Sutton. And she's like, I was eating chips in it. And I was like, no. Like Sutton basically like fucking a stranger, okay? Yeah. Eating chips in her new car.
Did she have a driver also? Because Dorit had a driver. But did Sutton have one also? Because she got out of the passenger side of her own car. So I wonder if she had a driver. For some reason, that like captivated me. Either way, Crystal comes in and she's like, last time I saw Sutton in person, it was probably her biggest meltdown. But since then, she's texted a chat and say hi. So I think things are getting better. And, you know, I'm just happy to be at a hotel with a locked door.
Yeah. So they're in the kitchen together, Sutton and Crystal. And Sutton's like, you look nice. Show me your boobs. Show them to me. Yeah. Yeah. What are you doing?
And then Kyle goes, oh my God, I didn't even start the lasagna. What is wrong with me? Oh my God, my ADD is off the charts. Because Kyle suddenly remembered that she wants to push this storyline that she cooks food. Something that we haven't revisited since Tahoe when she burnt all the salmon.
Yeah, I'm guessing Kyle's going to try a cookbook or some shit.
Yeah, so she keeps forgetting.
Yeah, she's going to have to do every single Vanderpump thing until the end of time. I'm waiting for some kind of rescue, some kind of animal thing that she's going to do.
Yeah.
So Rena's like, oh, I'll check on Erica. Do, 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 do. Hi, Erica. Are you there? You're not there. It's me, Lisa Rena. I'm staying in a casita. Kyle has a house. Okay, everybody. I've talked to Erica, but she hasn't talked to me back yet, okay? Okay.
So Erica had a session with Tom today, like a legal session of some sort, and Dorit read about it, and basically she tells them all that the government froze the assets because it was determined that at least $2 million was used inappropriately. And Kyle's like, Kyle does that gasp as if she hadn't read this first thing in the morning.
Right. Exactly. Like her Google alert isn't like Erica Jane, Erica Girardi, Jane Girardi. Jane Girardi, Jane Jane.
If you had seen what I saw on that judge's face, you would not believe it. Because, yeah, I saw it.
So Kathy comes in with some weird huge vase that she's just got her head
in. It's the candle.
It's
the candle. She's sniffing the candle.
So then Rena's like, wow, when they freeze your account, oh, does that mean that you can't touch your money? Yes, Rena, that's what it means. What is Rena pretending she doesn't know what anything financial means? Like last week when she was like, what? How do you even launder money? It's vapor.
I have a question. When they freeze your account, does that mean that Scott Disick can't touch the money also? Because he's dating my daughter.
If she can launder her money, do you think she can launder Scott Disick? He smells. So they're like, yes, that's what it means, Rena, you dodo bird. And Dorit goes, imagine not being able to take your own money out of your own account. No, it's not your own money when your assets are frozen. It's because you didn't pay people. That makes it their money, you dodo bird. And she and then I also thought, yes, you can imagine that, Dorit, but she recovered. She's like, it happened to me once when PK had a lawsuit against him. And so Dorit's still doing her whole like, hardly anything's ever happened to us. I mean, PK owed some money one time to somebody from some place about something before I was even born. You didn't even pay that bikini guy back. Have you paid that bikini guy back yet? That's my question.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing, which is that she's basically like, oh, but it was so small. I mean, this doesn't even compare to what's happening here. It was so small and trivial, making it seem like it was an argument over a purchase of Tic Tacs. So then they're talking about the lawyers asking for a medical evaluation of Tom, and they're talking about how Tom was held in contempt of court, and they're just talking about this article. Meanwhile, Erica's like getting out of a car at the La Quinta Hotel, and Rinna is saying, the most disturbing part is that $2 million that was supposed to go to the orphans and the victims of the plane crash didn't go to them. I don't know what's even more disturbing. Scott Disick is dating Amelia. How are you dealing with that news?
Then outside, Erica's dog Tiago is just pooping. And she's like, oh, great. Now I've got to clean that up. Let's go. So then we go back to the ladies. And Kathy's like, well, I'll tell you this much. You can't believe everything you read. Okay, this could all be a gigantic lie. And Crystal's like, yeah, I'm still on that side too. And Crystal tells us, listen, $2 million seems like a lot of money, but to someone who's rich as fuck, like Tom Girardi, it's not very much. And he could just write a check and make that all go away. So I'm not really sure what's going on.
That's a good point, by the way. That's a really good point. So, and now they're talking about Tom being mentally incompetent and everything, and
here they go. Right before Tom comes up with his mental incompetency hogwash, Erica brought it up the last time they shot, you know, for the first time. Like, Tom's losing it, and here we go with his mental incompetency defense. Which, you know, look, I'm sure he's 82. I mean, listen, I'm 45, and I just knocked a can of beans out. My dad's 68, and you know, I'm not completely saying that it's out. I was about to start telling my dad's horrible stuff, which is terrible. yeah, it's not out of the realm of possibility, but the timing is a little suspect, guys. Mm.
So Rinna then calls up Erica and is like, hi, we're at Kyle's. I have the casita. I have it. She showed me where it is. Get yourself over here, Missy. Get yourself over.
Guys, I've talked to Erica. So then Kathy tells them, guys, today is the eclipse, and it has not happened in 600 years. And Crystal goes, I hate that stuff. What
and,
stuff? Eclipses? Things that haven't happened in a long time? What is it that you're not liking here? Crystal's just not liking moons being covered by suns or some shit. I don't know.
So then Dorit is like, she FaceTimes Jackie and she's like, you know, I've always encouraged communication between me and my kids, but maybe there should be less communication and honesty. Ha 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 ha. I'm like, I don't understand. I think they haven't really found anything for Dorit to do this season. And I don't know what this is.
Well, it's because Jagger complained. He said, you're lucky. You get to stay in Palm Springs. And I have to stay in Boeing House. And she's like, ooh, we've expressed communication, but now I don't think it's a good idea. Little complainer, Janie. And then Kathy is talking about the eclipse still because she's Kathy. And she goes, come on, guys. It's the eclipse. Didn't you notice it was getting windy today? Does Kathy think that the wind is blowing the moon over the sun?
I think that's what it is. So wind, it's eclipse-driven wind.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So then Kyle's cleaning an eggplant, and she's like, I feel very uncomfortable washing this eggplant. I like a cucumber. I like a nice-sized cucumber. I wonder what Scott Disick has. He's dating my daughter.
So Sutton and Crystal are over by the mini fridge being nice to each other, giving each other elbow bumps because they can't hug. And Kyle sees them and she's like, that's all fun and games until you return a jacket. So Kyle's asking, did we get chopped onions, anybody? And Kathy's like, you don't put onions. And she goes, how do you know how I make my lasagna? She's like, I don't want onions in my lasagna.
And Kyle goes, I'm famous for my lasagna. Which is like, after 13 seasons is the first time we're hearing about it. Or however many seasons this is. I'm famous. Guys, I'm famous. There are three things I'm famous for. Being on Little House on the Prairie, being in Halloween. Okay, four things. Also, my salmon and my lasagna, guys. My lasagna is the only lasagna that has bangs, okay? This is very special to me.
So Kathy says, and why have I never had your lasagna? She's like, because you weren't talking to me for too many years. And then we see clips of all the years that Kathy wasn't talking to Kyle. It's like 2017, Kyle is doing American Woman. 2018, things aren't going so great, Andy. 2019, God, she really hates Little House on the Prairie, Andy. 2020,
Kyle pilots her new lasagna recipe and immediately declares it her most famous thing ever.
Yes. You missed it, Kathy. You missed it.
I call it Lasagna on the Prairie. I invented it when I was on break with George Clooney during ER.
It's funny to think because here I have this famous lasagna. And when I was a kid on Little House on the Prairie, I ate food also. So it's just funny the parallels in life, you know?
Well, you want to talk about lasagna? It's not your story. Right. I'm going to go into a Buca di Beppo monologue.
And Kyle is, by the way, Kyle is still doing that thing, though, where even though she and Kathy are, like, they are back to being sisters again, she still is sort of, like, doing these confessional moments where she's implying, she's sort of, like, guilting Kathy for icing her out. She's like, you know, it seems like a shame to think about all the holidays that we spent apart and the lasagnas we could have had. Just seems like a shame. Just a shame. I'm like, okay, Kyle. We see what you're doing. You're trying to get, we all love Kathy. So if you're going to try to turn us against Kathy, it's not going to work. Okay. We're on Team Kathy on this one.
So Erica drives up and the music is dramatic now. And it's like very sad. It's like, look, Erica's getting out of a car. And she's like, look at me. I'm getting out of a car. Poorly. And she comes up and then Rinna answers the door and she's like,
she goes, how are you? She literally arches her back. She must a full back arch, her hands fully extended. Erica! It was like she's about to be beamed into outer space.
I'm so proud of you that you're here. That's my sad inhale. And so then all the girls come over and hug her, and there's no music or anything. It's just everyone's just gathered around her, and Erica's crying. And Dorit's like,
they're big sacrificial hugs, too, because the whole thing is they're not supposed to be hugging because it's coronavirus. But like Rinna's like, fuck it, I'm going in for a hug. And then when Dorit comes up to give her a hug, Rinna goes, I hugged too. I went right in for a hug. I went, go do it. I did it. Just being so over the top about the hugging.
And then Erica starts doing this finger sniff cry. Like,
yes.
Did I get poop on my finger? She's doing this.
Yeah.
With her finger. It's the weirdest thing. I'm not sure maybe it's like to stop snot. I guess it would be to stop snot, right? But she doesn't because there's still snot coming down everywhere. But there was like the biggest controversy on the internet this week was Erica's scene last week when she was sobbing. And they're like, wait a minute, how come she wears sunglasses indoors? But then if she has a crying scene, she doesn't wear sunglasses outdoors. And then they were like, and look at her mascara. She never wears mascara that's not waterproof. And now she's got mascara streaming down her face. I love this storyline on the show. It's killing me. I'm loving all the conversation. I literally read thousands of comments this week about mascara. Yeah. And I've learned and so much about it.
And Camille Grammer weighed in and she was like, well, we filmed together in the Bahamas. And
yeah, we filmed together in the Bahamas. Yeah. And then, she also wore mascara, but it didn't smudge in the Bahamas. And so, you know, I think she's a big, fat, stupid liar face.
Stupid liar face. It's so upsetting. But it's true. Camille did send out a tweet that was like, in the Bahamas, her makeup was not affected at all by the water. And now all of a sudden it's like all over her face. So that was a big smoking gun for a lot of people. I mean, it's a fair argument, you know?
I didn't even think of that. And then one of the comments I read said, she's got something on her finger that she smells and makes her tear up. And I was like, is that such a thing? And then so I'm seeing this, her sniffing her finger. And I'm like, is that a real thing that she has something on her finger? I mean, that's what the show's done to me, you guys.
I do remember, and I feel like it was in high school where it was like, oh, put this stuff on your face. Like it was supposed to be for like how to cry in a, like on stage. It was like, there was something that you were supposed to sniff. And I don't know if Erica's done that. That seems like really,
I know really it seems like a stretch. I know. I'm not accusing. I'm just saying I read it, you know? And what was the other thing? Here's the thing about fake crying. Why would she need to fake cry? I mean, I know that maybe she's got some some issues, you know, with being cold or whatever. But she, no matter what's real and what's fake, she is losing a shit ton of money. I mean,
yeah,
you would think if anything that can make her cry for real, it would be that, you know.
No, I mean, she's still like in the crosshairs of a federal case like that. That's real. That's a real thing. That is terrifying. But it was funny because she was so melodramatic. And I can't honestly even make fun of her for it, because this is what I want from all my housewives, are super melodramatic moments. And just her coming in just like,
finger on my nose, cry. And just like,
It was so over the top. And it was honestly like Leanne Locken levels of melodrama. Like this is, she basically was like, How can I milk this? Let me watch some old Dallas episodes and learn from Leanne Locken, because it was at that level.
Yeah. And so she's like, every day I wake up and there's something new and it ain't good. It's all bad news all the time. I forget how beautiful this home is. Doreen, how do you feel? Which is hilarious, because we know that that's going to be last 2 seconds. She's like, fine, I'm sorry I hooked you. She goes, well, let me tell you, that's the least of my concerns. Anyone?
All right, we're going to talk about me again now.
Yeah, let's move on. It was literally like, me.
So you just had a very scary bout with COVID-19, the virus that is plaguing the entire globe, and you thought for a moment you might have died. Okay, so you're okay. Okay, great. Now let's talk back to me again.
Yeah. So Renan tells us, you know, you look at Erica and you think, oh, wow, she's set for life. Which I don't think anybody looked at Erica and thought, wow, she's set for life. I didn't. I looked at Erica and thought, wow, she's set for possibly another couple of years. Didn't you? Yeah. Just because.
I actually never thought about it, to be honest. I never thought like, wow, she's set for life. I just thought she's exists, I guess. I don't know.
So Kathy's like, wow, there she is. Hello, Dorit. You look beautiful. I'm so glad you could make it.
Yeah. So Erica's like, well, it was rough today, to say the least. I mean, what happened today in court?
I'll just say it out loud. ... Feel free to jump in. ...
And were you there? Were you at court? She goes, no, it was in Chicago. And why was it in Chicago? Because it's a federal case. And he so just, this is the well, first Tom... hint. This episode in general is like the first hint we get of the lady, some Sutton, I guess, being like,
You know, Tom, I always wanted him to come see me in Chicago, but I was not planning to be seen in Chicago, if that makes sense.
So then Kathy says, like, probably something that gets said a lot in certain circles in Beverly Hills. Have you talked to Robert Shapiro? He's very good.
Oh, I know Bob well. I know Bob.
And Kathy's like, oh, well, you know him, but we're like family.
You know, just we absolutely hi. Love him, because he was the one who helped get the murderer of one of our dear friends off the hook. He's a great man.
Yeah. Whenever so someone's like, do you want to call one of OJ's lawyers? That's, you know, you gotta reevaluate your life.
We were all so sad when OJ killed one of our dear, dear friends. But God, we love his legal team.
Mm-hmm. So let me see. So Sutton's like, Sutton asks if she's talking to Tom, and she's like, absolutely not. When I left, and that's it. And that's hard, because you know he's struggling, but in some ways I'm relieved, because his attorney feels that he's not mentally well. And this is something that I have said. Like, you said it last week.
Yeah.
Why are we acting like you've been saying this the whole time? Like, something's wrong with Tom. You said it last week, okay? Like, 2 days before this was claimed in court.
Did you ever realize that Erica and Tom's marriage lasted longer than Ramona and Mario's?
Wow. It
feels weird, yeah. Right? Doesn't feel like it. Yeah. Doesn't that feels weird. Yeah. So, she's saying this stuff about how he's not mentally well, and I tried to tell people, and I tried, and I tried, and I tried. I'm getting dragged into all of this right now. I'm just getting dragged into it.
And so then her story is, you know, what I was seeing and experiencing and hearing with Tom, I was right about it this whole time. Tom was changing. And, you know, this was over a long period of time. And when you're slowly watching someone unravel, that's a really hard thing to do. So now she's making it that she left kind of because of that, because she says later, and he got really mean and stuff. But now it's like she needs to be careful how she's changing all these narratives, because now you're saying like, oh, he was getting sick and he was getting mental problems, so I left him, which doesn't really help you either.
I think she has credibility issues right now, because she did spend so much time talking about how great their marriage was and how like people don't understand it, but it works and yada, yada, yada. And we even see later on, which we'll get into, about this car accident, and which actually was on the show. And it was just at the time downplayed as just like a little fender bender and he broke his ankle. And it turns out it's this whole big thing. And so like the fact that it's like, oh, by the way, everything you always thought you knew about our relationship, because I never really let you into my life, now I'm actually going to tell you the truth. And this is what it really is. So everything that you thought was sort of wrong. And again, like I said last week, I do truly believe that, you know, there are people who are in relationships that are bad and they don't know how to get out of them. And they do lie to the world around them because maybe it's some way of trying to like convince themselves that everything is good. I feel like it is relationships are complicated like that. So I get that. But I still think that ultimately she has a credibility issue now. And so that's why whenever she says all these things, we're kind of like, I don't know, like maybe it's the truth. It seems convincing, but maybe not, because guess what? She just spent 5 years saying her marriage was one thing, and now she's saying, oh, by the way, it wasn't that at all. So like, how are we supposed to know what to believe from her? Even if that line came from a understandable place.
Yeah. So then Dorit, of course, takes over. She's like, when PK went through his legal woos, I was dragged. My name was Smith, and I was not part of it at all. I mean, not only did I know... I was like, bikinis. I just wrote bikinis. Pay for your bikinis.
Who would have thought that there'd be such a to-do over me not paying for some person's yogurt? Because that's really all it was. About $5 worth. It was so small, insignificant. Anyway, back onto your story, Erica.
So Erica's like, yeah, this guy's been in business since I was born, before I was born in 71. They're not accusing you of, oh my God, it's like every week. This is going to be the next 20 weeks of our lives, by the way. I don't need to go into it again. Okay. So Dorit's like, yeah, I don't think he married Erica for her accounting skills.
Right.
So Kathy says, well, marriage is based in trust. You know, my husband comes in and says, here, sign at the bottom of these 50 papers. I mean, what am I supposed to do? Go over every little thing? I just sign him because I trust him. Yeah, supposed to read it. You're supposed to read the contracts that you sign, because God knows what Rick Hilton is doing. You know, I don't know if he's a bad person or not, but he's a gazillionaire. So there has to be something. Read the papers that you sign. Yes, read them.
Well, it's like I say, marriage is built in trust. You marry a guy and you get a trust. That's how it works.
So Erica's like, yeah, and when you enter into a marriage like I did, the power balance is just so out of whack. Stop complaining about the power balance. You married a gazillionaire when you were a waitress at a steak place, okay? And so Erica's like, well, first I'm a bimbo gold digger, trophy wife, and now all of a sudden I'm a financial mastermind who planned everything. Which I don't think is the accusation that you're a mastermind.
I don't think that's either. But I think your point remains, though, which is that like the power balance of that relationship. Yes, like I believe that that's true. That is the situation. But it's a situation you actually willingly walked into and were part of, because maybe you loved the guy at a certain point, but also it was clear that he was treating you badly for several years, and you were in it because. You know, like, I mean, it was like a deal with the devil, right? So it's kind of like you made this deal with the devil. So that's what happens, unfortunately.
So Erica's like, when you're on for half, you're half. You know, they don't care. They're just doing it to fuck with you. It's like, no, they're doing it because tens of millions of dollars were embezzled. They're not doing it to fuck with you.
They're trying to get their money.
To businesses under your name that you signed for. That's why they're not doing it to fuck with you. So yes. Kyle is in the kitchen cooking, and she's like, wow. I mean, she said he won't even listen to her, you know? I mean, it's almost like a dad-daughter. Like, you know, he would say, excuse me, I'm talking. And then they showed this clip of that time where he was saying something to Vanderpump, and then Erica's like, yeah, no shit. And he goes, excuse me, Erica, I'm talking. And yeah, that was rough, but she also just jumped in with a big no shit in the middle of a sentence. So I don't know. This show's making me crazy. This show's going to put me under. I switch sides every 2 seconds.
I think it was a gruff moment that was... if it's a one-off, it's no big deal. But if that's like the constant dynamic,
sure,
it's
it was
not,
all the
it's
time.
Not good.
I'm sure he was like that constantly.
Well, it's also... Yeah, I mean, it's also funny because in the previews for next week, and I think she even said it... I don't know. At some point, she says like, get broke and old and watch your friends disappear. And it's like, oh, so you're mad at your friends for disappearing when you don't have money. But why did you stick with Tom all that time? You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Like, you stayed with Tom because even though the relationship had sort of like run its course, he was funding your career, giving you an amazing lifestyle. I mean, yeah, I'm not negging her necessarily for that. That's,
you want to lose
but like,
your wife
in it for the money.
Yeah, you want to lose your husband. Let him lose his money. You know.
And yeah, just saying that. Like, it's like she's getting mad at other people because she feels like now that she doesn't have any money, they're not hanging out anymore. But it's like you were in it for the money too, though.
Yeah. So then Kyle is saying how he was so controlling, and then back to the lady, Sutton's like, well, how's your house? And she's like,
well, we got a little tree. We put some garland up.
back to her making it sound like she lives in the slums of London.
Well,
yeah.
Well, we made a negotiation with the power company. They said they'd give us 2 hours of electricity on Christmas Eve just because we could celebrate. And I got a candle and I put out a little piece of cheese for the mouse in the wall. I think it's going to be a nice night on Christmas.
Yeah, and Sutton's like, well, my dad shot himself 2 days before Christmas. You want to talk sucky? I'm like, oh my God.
Sutton's like, she's like, I need to one up this so badly. I've been waiting to.
God. And Erica goes, oh yeah, what'd your mom say about that? She goes, oh, she was pissed. And then we see a scene from last year that we didn't really see, right? Was this unseen footage? Because I don't remember meeting Reba. Reba. So she's saying, Mama, I just wish you came to my opening. I mean, don't you miss Dad? Don't you miss him? I mean, even the logo is done in his writing, Mother. And Reba's like, you can't expect me to feel about him like you do. It was my marriage and my relationship, and it was different than yours, Sutton.
And she goes, but it would be nice to know that you miss him. She goes, I don't miss him.
Sutton.
I mean, it was one of the greatest Tennessee Williams plays that never made it to stage, basically, is Sutton's life.
Yeah.
It's also Tennessee Williams.
And Erica goes, well, that's more tragic than my story. I mean, I guess it just all sucks, doesn't it?
And she's like, yeah, but look, the point is I'm here. I am here. I have persevered. And
it's a regular Cynthia Erivo.
Yeah. And so then we go to Kathy and Kyle cooking. And no. Kyle is talking about how she's always going to be the baby sister because Kathy's just standing over her, telling her she's doing everything wrong. Like, don't do it across. Do it this way. You're doing it wrong, Kyle. Kyle, I'll bet you're one of those people whose chair goes all the way back in their car. So their knees are, you're doing it wrong, Kyle.
You're probably one of those people that drives their own car. You're doing it wrong, Kyle. She goes, what is this? Basil? No, it's oregano. Do you want to put some in the sauce? Was I the only one who was surprised that Kathy knew the difference between basil and oregano? I'm always so surprised when she knows sort of like normal things, like things that involve cooking that I feel like she doesn't do, you know? Like even her talking about how to slice bread, I'm like, do you know what bread is, Kathy?
Yeah, she doesn't have to do it to boss somebody. You have to know it at least enough to boss somebody around to do it, right?
Yeah. So then she finds some stale bread that Mauricio had left out like last week when they were at the house. And Kathy is like trying to cut it because she wants to serve this rock hard stale bread. And Kyle's like, Kathy, you can't serve that. And it is so hard. And Kathy just starts like clacking them together like little castanets or something. She's like, and she's and like, you know, Kyle's like cracking up and everything, and Kathy's like, it's always so good to laugh, but she still puts this stale ass bread out in a basket for the ladies. But she knew no one's gonna actually ever eat, even if it was the freshest bread in the world, no one's gonna touch it.
Yeah, that's what Kyle said. She goes, I'm going through all this work, but nobody's even going to eat this. So then Rena comes out in her Maxine from Shoebox Greetings at a Holiday Party jumpsuit, like the gold glitter jumpsuit thing. And Erica's like, is she in a sequin jumper?
Why not? You gotta wear this shit somewhere. Sometimes I like to pretend I'm in Positano, yes!
So then we see Kathy trying to take her suitcase upstairs, and she's just like going one step at a time and stopping, then lifting it and going one step at a time and stopping.
Oh, and by the way, it's an enormous staircase. It's like super wide. It's like this huge, huge staircase. She's like, oh, I'm getting hot. Oh, oh dear. She's like on the third step. Oh.
And Dorit's like, you can't lift that, Kathy. Let me do it. So she does it for her. And Kathy's like kind of doing that thing where you're touching the suitcase so you can pretend you're helping. Like, look at me. I've got my hands on the Ouija board too. The spirits are coming through me too. She's like, I've got it, Kathy. And she goes, normally I'd let anyone else carry their own, but she's Kathy. She's way richer than anyone here.
She's like, if I want to get invited onto Kathy's yacht, I am going to haul up the suitcase. And then she even goes so far as to fan her down. She's like, because of course Kathy has her proper fan. And Dorit just like picks it up. And Kathy just like holds herself out there like she's getting a spray tan. And Dorit just takes the fan and she's like, there you go. There you go. Cool down, little Kathy. Cool down.
So then Erica goes outside with Rinna, and she looks at the table and she goes, wow, a lemon for a paperweight. Oh, look, that's a golf course. Rinna's like, yeah. And look, it's a hot tub. It's a hot tub. We're just like Thelma and Louise. Remember how Thelma and Louise would go around just pointing at things and saying what they are? I love that movie.
They're always Rinna calling
themselves. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go.
They're always calling themselves Thelma and Louise. On Erica's birthday, Rinna posted, hi, happy birthday, Thelma. And I was like, you know how that movie ended, right? That movie was about them running from the law until they die at the end.
Also, I actually never saw Thelma and Louise, but don't they also kill someone in the beginning?
Yeah.
Like Brad Pitt?
Yeah.
Also, like, if you're trying to prove your innocence on TV, like, don't equate yourself to being like, she's like, okay, all right, okay, instead of Thelma and Louise, Bonnie and Clyde. But I'm surprised Rinna has not like pitched just like her version of I Spy. Just like, I Spy, something green. A tree. Yes. Just her getting excited about seeing things.
So Erica tells a story about the pool. She's like, oh, their pool is heated. Well, I turned on my pool at our house, and, you know, I never saw the bill, but it was on all the time. 20 years, never used it. But then this new house, I turned the pool on for a couple of days, and I saw the bill, and I immediately turned it off.
Yeah. It's hard when you're, you know, when you're living in a tiny, tiny little shack with a heated pool. I actually like this side. This is the side of Erica I'm really enjoying, of her like learning what things cost. That's fun to me. So then now the moment that made me so happy, Kyle knocking over all her spice jars. She's like, oh my God, Kathy! It's like spice jars falling everywhere. And Kathy's like, what are you doing? And why do you laugh at everything? You laugh at everything. Kathy! She's just like, things are toppling everywhere.
Kathy's like, do you have a dustbuster? She's like, what is this, 1975, Kathy? And then she drops, then there's glass everywhere, you know. And so Kathy takes the barbecue scrubber and starts like scrubbing the floor.
To what end, I'm not sure, but she's like, I guess maybe she thinks that she can scrub the glass into the tile or something. By the way, like, I don't like Kyle shaming dustbusters because I totally want to get a dustbuster. I have one.
Well, it's not a dustbuster brand dustbuster. That's a real tongue twister, ain't it? Dustbuster.
Who are you going to call? Dustbusters.
So I have like a vacuum that you unhook it and you can have little different attachments. I walk around with that thing everywhere.
I actually have three different vacuums randomly that I've sort of collected over the years. And one of them is a stick vacuum that has, you can remove like the core of it and it becomes a dustbuster, and I love it, but now it's like losing its charge a lot. So I kind of want to get like a proper like dustbuster, like one that's like whole purpose in life is not, yeah, I want something that's like not just like something that lives inside a stick vacuum. I want it to be a whole, like, its whole purpose is to be a dustbuster. That's what I want.
A single purpose appliance. Sounds great. What a great idea.
I wish I had thought of this on Amazon Prime Day.
Yeah, too late. Well, maybe you can wait a year. So Erica's like, I like to sleep. which, you know, is huge information if you watched Erica for a few years.
Sweep like, things wow. under the rug, if yeah. you will.
So then Kyle drops something else. And then it's time for lasagna. And Kathy's like, I'm telling you, Kyle, this is mushy right now. And she's like, it's mushy because it just came out of the oven, Kathy. But it's mushy. It just came out of the oven, Kathy.
And then and the table is like a very normal table setting, as in like what everyone would do at home if they didn't have guests. And she's like, this is the most unattractive table I've ever done. Kyle's plans to do some sort of like lifestyle entertaining with Kyle Richards book is backfiring. It just backfires so amazingly with like no like a shitty ass table setting, people calling her lasagna messy, knocking over spices. She doesn't have the chopped onions for whatever she's going to use the chopped onions for. It's just great to watch her big plans fall apart. And then on top of everything else, like her biggest nightmare is this. Her daughter texts her and says, Drake follows Lisa Rinna, up your game. Like that is the nightmare for Kyle.
And Rinna's like, wow, I didn't even know he was following me. I mean, his name is Champagne Pappy. Champagne Pappy.
And like, it's Poppy.
I know, Pappy. Champagne Pappy. Poppy. Pappy, right? How are you, Champagne Pappy?
So Kathy's like, wow, guys, guess what? It's an eclipse night. And this has not happened in 600 years. Have you seen the wind? That wind is going to put it right over the moon. And Carl's like, yeah, it's a new moon, so let's just get rid of toxic energy and manifest. And she goes, I have a candle, and so we're going to put that toxic energy there and blow it out. She just pushes it right at Erica.
They just push it. Don't blow your toxic energy onto my table, by the way. Like blow it away from the table.
They're like, come on, Erica, get some toxic energy, girl.
Yeah, so Erica is just like, well, I'll do whatever it takes if it means blowing out a candle. Lord knows I've blown enough things to get ahead in life. So she...
Give me a prayer circle, a lunar eclipse, anything. Just not confession, all right? That's where I draw the line. I'm not confessing shit.
Okay. To quote Michael Bluth in Arrested Development, you got to sometimes think about the words you say. Do you ever hear... You should just play a tape recorder and listen back to the words you say. I know
so
what she
Erica's
meant, but
like,
it was funny.
You guys, you know, thanks for being my friends. I appreciate you being kind word, and I know that we'll eventually talk about this stuff. And Kyle goes, oh yeah, can I ask me what happens with Erica Jane? And
as someone like, who's seen you sob, I'd really like to know this. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, it's an expensive business, and I let go of my office. I turned the key tonight. Cliff Clavin was sitting right there with one final beer, the tears sliding down his face.
And then someone tried to come in, and I said, sorry, we're closed.
How did she miss the opportunity to say, when she said, well, it's an expensive business, how do you miss the opportunity to say it's expensive to be me?
Well, Erica. She's slipping.
Who would have thought, like, Erica?
Oh, you turned the key. That was a big moment for you. Big, huge, huge moment, Erica. And Kyle's like, so just to get this straight, now you're going to be solely responsible for yourself. Like, this. Why does she need to cry again? Could you leave her alone? It's like Kyle is so desperate to just get this woman to sob every scene she's on.
Kyle just breaks out like some Andy Cohen cards. Okay, this one is from Faye R. from Beverly Hills, and she asks, so you're not going to have any help from him going forward?
No.
All right, thanks. Okay.
No help? So you're not just poor, you're going to be poor?
Wait.
Is that what you're saying?
We need to have a clarification. When we say no help, meaning no help from him, or you're not going to have a household staff, we just need to clarify that.
None of the above, thank you.
So Dorit's like, well, I already asked you not to have spousal support. And Kathy says, the richest men in the world take back the jewelry.
Yeah, that's how cheap they are.
Yeah. And Son's like, well, maybe he just like, maybe with everything going on, he'll just like, you know, want to do the divorce and like get, you know, sort of like get it over with. That way he can focus on the main thing. It's like Sutton. In what world is Tom Girardi going to cut the ties with someone who could share the liability of these losses? There's no way he's going to let this divorce end right now. He's going to try to pin so much onto Erica. It's crazy.
She's like, well, Erica says, I don't even know if there's anything to get. And Carol says, meaning, now this means you're extremely poor. Like, he doesn't have anything left. And she says, well, they froze everything, Kyle. How many of these should turn in his ball card and stop practicing, if you ask me? It's time. He's not well. It's gotta stop, Kyle.
So are you saying he has a drinking problem? He goes to a bar so much they gave him a card? Is that what you're saying?
No, Kyle. It's how you practice law.
Oh, got it. Thanks. Do you want to go in the back room and maybe cry privately for me and then I can tell everyone about it?
No, Kyle. We already did that.
So Erica tells us that Tom's, you know, biggest thing in life, his best identity, was being a lawyer. That's all he cared about. And the last few years, when she noticed him declining, that he held on even tighter. And he was afraid and he was mad and he was really mean.
Mean as fuck!
And she says, before that happened, he'd be like, honey, let me explain this to you. And then all of a sudden it became, I'm talking, Erica. I was like, okay, but now you're saying that he's been sweet to you and kind to you this whole marriage until he started a mental decline. And that's when he became mean. And then you left him right when he came down with, you know, showed signs of Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
What are you trying to portray here? You're not winning in either of these scenarios.
Yes, and that I'm talking, Erica, clip was from like 4 or 5 years ago. So it's like, it's been some time. This is why, again, she has credibility issues. Sometimes you're like, I don't know. Things just sometimes don't add up, you know? Like, you know me, I'm always trying to give, like, not always to other certain people, but like sometimes I'm trying to give people a benefit of the doubt. Like, maybe she had a hard time leaving this relationship, but I don't know. So then Crystal talks about how her dad had Alzheimer's, which is very, very sad. And then Kyle starts saying something, which I believe Kyle knew this entire story, but she wanted to put it out on air. So she goes, oh, and Erica, like, he couldn't even drive to work for a long time, right? Because he had a car accident, right? Didn't he have a car accident where he only broke his ankle and that's the only thing that happened to America? Isn't that right, Erica?
And Sutton's like, so that's when you started seeing this stuff going down, right, with his mental decline. And Kyle goes, oh, I just got that. Okay,
oh.
Kyle. So Erica's like, yeah, well, I told y'all he got in a car accident, but I didn't tell you the rest. And they're like, dun, dun, dun. And then we see a clip of Erica telling Kyle,
yeah, he got in a car accident. He's fine. I mean, it was an accident, but he's fine.
The world's and biggest baby on the planet. It now.
And then Kyle saying, yeah, and it never came up again. And she says, yeah, he crashed and broke his ankle, right? She goes,
well, he was unconscious for 12 hours, but no one knows that part. I found him.
And they're like, what? And Rena says, wow, well, it's unbelievable, because at that time I thought, he's gonna be fine, but this is so different. So she says,
he had a head injury. His head incapacitated, people. Head injury. He broke his shoulder, and then he drove off a cliff. And then he ran over his toe. Then he swallowed a lizard on accident, started himself on fire, and then fell down a cliff.
He wound up in a strange place with a checkerboard floor and red curtains. And a tree was talking to him, and a little man came up to him and started singing backwards. And next thing I know, he came back, and he was holding a log. And I said, where you been, Tom? And he said, my name's Bob now.
It's like, Erica, you're doing Twin Peaks. Erica,
yeah, so Sutton's like, wow, geez, that's a lot, Erica. And he's like, yeah, here's what happened, okay? He was down the hill, and it's a road down from our house. A switchback, you know what that is? All right, so follow my fingers, okay? Somehow this man has lived there 30 years plus, and he drives up behind the house. He takes a turn, but ends up here. Then he tumbles out of the car. He's tumbling. And Sutton tells us, the story is confusing. So... Was he thrown out of the car? Was he not thrown out of the car? Was the car totaled? What is going on? And then we cut back to Erica going,
all right, out of the car. The car's on fire. Then a big bird blew over, grabbed him by the ear, lifted him up a cliff. And I thought, great, he's fine. He's back up the cliff. Thanks, big bird. Then he's hit by an Amazon delivery truck, falls back down the hill, tumbles and tumbles down till he hits the bumper of the car, bounces off of that into the next neighborhood where his head makes a basket in the kids' basketball hoop. And I said, you got 2 points, Tom. You got 2 points, honey.
And for 12 hours, I had no idea where he was until I climbed up to that big old castle on the top of the hill. And there he was, and his hands were replaced with scissors, and I couldn't believe it. And I knew our waterbed would have to be swapped out.
Thomas Girardi hands.
The good news is he's been on my glam team ever since. Didn't you like my new asymmetric hairstyle?
Okay, so everyone's kind of trying to follow this, but like, what the fuck? And so she switches again. She adds
like
a new element.
Like a switchback road herself.
Yeah, she enters a new element, which is he finally calls her and she says, "Where you been, Tom?" Because I just assumed he was with some other woman. Dun, dun, dun.
And they're all shocked, and Dorit gives her most like. She gives the look at Dorit gives the look that she gives PK when he finds her secret stash of potato chips.
PK, are there no potato chips that you cannot sniff out?
The first time PK held a stalk of celery.
It was the look that she the first time with celery. I'm not even gonna add on to that. So
she's shocked, and everyone's so shocked. Now this is the time, in case anybody's like trying to get this timeline in with real life, what was happening. So this was the time when Erica was being accused of this whole thing being a sham, this divorce being a sham to hide assets. So Erica came back and said, "No, it's not a sham. Here's proof. He was cheating on me with this slut, this judge slut."
Yeah,
and she posted all these screenshots of this affair that Tom has been having. But then people were like, that's from 2011. Like, you can see the... I don't know if you could see the timestamp on the text, or there was something at the time that was proof of these texts. It's like, Erica, this is like from a long time ago, and she's trying to make it sound recent. And so she took those down almost immediately. So that's where this is coming from, this defense.
Yeah. I just am laughing because the way she described this whole thing with the road and the switchback and the top of the hill and everything, it really is like those old movies, right? Where there's some... It's like, or like Death Becomes Her, but the Death Becomes Her is playing off those tropes where there's like someone driving on like a, on some windy road and the brakes go out and someone crashes. It just feels very cinematic like that, etc. So anyway.
Well, because if it was something that I would believe or I would take as truth, it wouldn't be so crazy and all over the place. It would just be, yeah, he got, the wreck was worse than I said. He actually hit his head and got a head injury and... You know, it was sad. But instead, and like, it's like, and then he went around the thing and down a hill. And he was in a cliff wandering the desert for 30 days like Jesus, so I hear. And then,
what? And then he wound up at his father-in-law's house and did five shots of whiskey because he was so rattled by the car accident and then lost his license.
Cares, eh?
Yeah,
so what? So what? So what? Who cares? Yeah.
It's bad when you're pulling like a story that sounds like it could come from Joe Giudice.
Yes.
But it is weird. I didn't understand, like, he was knocked out for 12 hours, but then, like, she found him, but no one, like, weren't people wondering where he was for 12 hours? Or, like, how do you survive being knocked out? I'm so confused by the whole thing.
I'm just trying to follow it as everything she's trying to enter onto the public record, right? So Tom's been mentally declining. Tom's car accident was way worse, and he got a head injury. Yeah. And in case you think this is a sham, he was also cheating on me. It's like a bunch of stuff she's trying to keep up with in real time is what it sounds like to me. Because, you know, my ass was back there reading every single thing when this was happening around Christmas time. I was just like in bed loving every second of it, like a sicko. And I get what a vulture I sound like. I get it. But you know what? I am who I am. That's it.
Yeah. So anyway, like, so Rinna
says,
"You guys
have no idea what I've been going through. No idea what I've been living through."
And Kyle's like, "Well, you know, it's not the first time I've heard that for sure."
Kyle has never been so happy to say something. She's like, "It's not the first time I've heard." She's been wanting to say that she's heard that Tom's been cheating on the record on this show for years, and she jumped at the ability to say that. She was so excited. It's not the first time I heard that.
I don't think she was saying she heard him cheating. She was saying it's not the first time she's heard that some old man has some hot wife and he's the one who's cheating. You know, that's what
I think that she'd heard rumors about Tom, and I think that she'd kept her mouth quiet because she jumped in with that line so excitedly to be like, "Oh, good, we can finally talk about this. Thank God."
Yeah, and Kyle's like, "Well, you know, I don't get it. You have a trophy wife. Treat her like a trophy." And Erica says, well, I haven't gone through his phone or his papers or anything, but after Yolanda divorced David, I opened up that phone and I said, okay. And there it was. All the evidence, text messages, pictures. I feel like it was years long. Years long.
And I knew it was a lot because he was sloppy. I mean, there it was, a text message saying, hey, I'm shooting a movie up in Northern California. Why don't you stay with me and we can have sex? Just don't tell Aaron. How about that, right?
So Kyle's like, well, why didn't you leave? And she says, where am I going? Where am I going? And Kathy's like, yeah, well, that's the way she was made to feel. Like she couldn't go anywhere without him. And she said, yeah, he told me straight up, this is my house, so where am I going?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
this was Yolanda left David a long time ago. It was a long time ago. And again, like I've said a million times, people sometimes, they don't get out of relationships as quickly as they should. But I don't know. I believe that there was probably a part of it that she was afraid that if she left, it would become a media circus. And she didn't want a media circus because she was trying to have her career. I mean, she was still in it. I mean, all signs pointed that she was in it still, despite the fact that he was cheating, despite the fact that he was treating her like shit. She stayed partially because it was her career. She stayed for that stuff, right? And now it's actually bit her in the ass way worse than if she had just left 4 or 5 years ago.
Yeah, and Kyle's like, well, I can speak to your character because you're a good person. I mean, listen, I'm best friends with Faye Resnick. If anyone can speak to someone's character, it's me.
Okay. Yeah. and let me tell you something about character, okay? The person who defended the person who killed Faye Resnick's best friend is a dear friend of mine, okay? So I know about character.
Yeah, so then Erica's like, well, thank you, everyone. I will be okay, but I'm just not okay right now. And Sutton's like, who wants pancake cake? Who wants pancake cake? Who wants that? Pancake cake.
The most important question of the episode. Pancake cake. She's like, I cannot deal with all this chatter right now. She's like, that switchback was too much for me. So then they all start. Kyle then races in to hug Erica. She's like, I love you. And then Rena's like, I love you too. And Sutton basically says, this divorce is like part horror movie, part film noir, and it's a movie. I wouldn't want a starring role in, that's for sure.
So Rena's like, well, listen, I'm measuring my days and who has COVID? How's Erica doing? And is my daughter still dating Scott Disick? Oh my God, I haven't said his name enough. So let me tell you this funny anecdote that happened this morning in my kitchen. Harry Hamlin, who's also very famous. Harry Hamlin, married to him. He comes in and he says, hey, how did Scott Disick get into our family? Scott Disick.
Scott Disick. Oh, God, it's so good to know that we're all going through traumas at the same time.
Oh, gosh. And so they basically, Kyle's like, oh, so she's still with Scott, huh? And she's like, yeah, Scott Disick. I'm not sure of the level, though. I think it's more of a friendship. Yeah, a friendship. And Erica goes, yeah, right. And she starts doing the blowjob, the blowjob face.
And that's actually where it ends. So the mystery continues to unravel. And then we get the mid-season trailer, which actually looks great. I'm not going to lie.
Great. That was the best part of the episode.
I think the first time in the history of Bravo that the mid-season Beverly Hills trailer actually looked better than the mid-season New York trailer. Shocking.
I thought that one looked pretty good, too. That one looks good to me.
Listen, you know, I'm a New York apologist. I have not given up on this season. I still am enjoying New York. But I was not totally blown away by the New York midseason trailer, but I don't have to be because I'm entertained by those ladies, even if they do nothing. But the Beverly Hills trailer looks awesome. And it's so exciting to have a really fun season of Beverly Hills going on, right?
Yeah. All right, everybody. Thanks so much for being with us. We will talk to you next time.
Bye. Bye, everyone. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't No Thing Like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, She Don't Take No Baloney.
Dana C. Dana Do.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela. Itchels!
Let's run some errands with Emily Ahrens.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Jamie, she has no less namey.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
Just saying, okay. She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino. Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
You don't touch the Nikki Morgan letters. The Bay Area Betches. Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Better than Tabbouleh, it's Annie and Julie.
Always the wiser, it's Allison Weisler.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva. Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
We will, Joanna Rockland, you.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
Kristen the Piston Anderson. Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. The incredible edible Matthew sisters. No one makes us feel well like Megan Cap Sewell.
She's cheese on a bagel, it's Megan Ragel.
Mina Coochie Coochie Coochie.
Give him hell, Miss Noel. Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's get racy with Miss Stacy.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.